It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
Las Vegas never stands still. It's a city driven by gaming, business, entertainment, and world-class events, constantly reinventing itself. From the Strip to downtown, the changes have been fast and dramatic, and few people have had a closer view than my guest, Richard N. Rick Velotta. For more than 25 years, Rick has reported on the heartbeat of Las Vegas, covering business, the gaming industry, tourism, transportation, and aviation. And he's now the assistant business editor at the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and he continues to shape how we understand the city's evolution. You can explore more of Rick's reporting at reviewjournal.com, and of course, follow him on X at Rick Velotta, V-E-L-O-T-T-A. And Rick, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Ira. It's been a long time.
It has. I was looking at it the other day and I said, I got to call Rick. Thanks for doing it again. What would you say from your point of view and your beat, the biggest change in Las Vegas during your time here? Because you've been here more than 25 years.
Oh my gosh. It's extraordinary just how everything has evolved in Las Vegas. Starting when I first got here, we were just starting to get into some of the themed casinos and the themed resort properties. And now we're the entertainment capital of the world. That's obvious. That's kind of been pretty much out there. And then the sports entertainment capital of the world, the sports arena of the world. And I really believe that because I think that with the in addition to all the boxing and combat sports that we've had, which have been a staple for Las Vegas for many years, now that we have some of these team sports, Vegas Golden Knights for hockey. We've got the Las Vegas Raiders for football. We're going to soon have the Las Vegas A's Athletics for baseball. And it would not shock me if pretty soon we get an NBA franchise here. Just having all those types of team sports has grown this community immensely because people can see the advantage of coming to Las Vegas to see their team that they want to see in addition to spending time in a probably the classiest world resort in the country.
I know we're in a little bit of a slump right now. Are you optimistic that's going to change? I know there's a new ad campaign by the LVCVA, the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority.
I think it's cyclical. You know, Irie, it's one of those things where you're going to see some lulls, especially when the economy falters a little bit. But we're just masters at reinventing ourselves. And one of the things that I think that I look for as far as being an optimist in terms of what's going to be happening in the future are these reports about how, we had a slow summer. Yeah, there were some of the visitation was down, but just take a look at some of the advanced bookings for fall and for next year. Some of the resorts have said that their fall calendars are among the best that they've ever seen in history. So that tells me that there are going to be people coming back in droves in the weeks and months ahead. Now, the proof is in the pudding. We won't actually know that until they actually start showing up. But the fact that there are all these advanced bookings indicates to me that the cycle is kind of now swinging back the other way. So after having some downturns for a few months, that we'll probably see this rebound coming up very soon. And I think that part of that is in part it's to the sports. I mean, you've got football season starting. That's always the big team sport that everybody likes. People like to come from out of town to see the Raiders. People like to come. Actually, they're starting to come from out of town to see UNLV. So that's a great thing as far as both our collegiate athletics as well as our professional sports.
Do you think though that and it's good you gave us a long term view because that's part of what you do in your beat is you're looking at not just what's happening today but down the road 6 months, 12 months, et cetera. Do you think that we'll see a more of an adjustment when it comes to such things as the dreaded resort fees and parking fees and higher prices for drinks and food?
I think that the message has been sent, and hopefully it will be received by the resort community that that they have maybe overstepped themselves a little bit. They've gone out too far with some of their pricing. And, you know, we're seeing just this week, we were seeing some people that we're seeing some resorts changing some of their policies and actually considering better deals to draw people in. This is, I think, is a part of what this LVCVA campaign is all about, is to acknowledge that and let people realize that there are price points for of all sizes, so that you can, you know, you might be a high roller and come in and you can get a pretty decent deal at some of the high end resorts, or you can be a low roller like me and be able to go to some of the less expensive destinations, but still have a great time when you're here. And I think that's the whole emphasis of this campaign, is to reestablish or verify to people that this is the best place to come to have a good time, whether you have a lot of money or you have a little bit of money.
What about the transportation challenges? You mentioned you've been here more than 25 years. I can't remember in my mind the time frame, but was the monorail here when you got here, or was it not?
It was being built when I got here. Something that the monorail has been to me, it's been a pretty good transportation mode around here, especially to get around things. And sadly, some of that technology is growing old, and eventually the monorail is going to be decommissioned. But now that we have new technology, we're seeing new things. And, you know, even though there's some controversy involved with it, I think that Elon Musk's loop system, the underground transit system that's being built, is going to be a game changer for getting around town. It's, the very first stops have been put in. They have a system that has three stops on the Las Vegas Convention Center campus. So I've ridden it a few times, and it's pretty astounding to just zip right through traffic underground to get from one place to another. Well, if you can imagine a network that extends across the entire city with stops at different resorts in town, it's almost like having a subway system that's customizable. You can go to wherever you want to go in a Tesla. Okay, well, it's Elon Musk, right? So it's going to be in a Tesla underground, and you'll be able to surface wherever it is that you want to go. You just tell the driver, or maybe eventually it becomes no drivers and it's just programmable. You say where you want to go, you go. It zips you there in probably a fraction of the time that it would have taken you on surface streets. And then when you surfaced, you are back to wherever it is you wanted to go.
Do you
think setting these things up at the airport? You're going to be setting up at the stadium,
right?
All the resorts. So it's going to be really amazing when this gets done. And I caution people to get too excited, because it does take time to get it done, and there's going to be growing pains along the way, and certainly there are going to be problems along the way that we probably haven't even seen yet. But the fact is that this is an innovative idea, and you may not like the politics of some of the people involved, but at the same time, it's a great transit system that will make Las Vegas unique once again.
I think the key to it, and you just mentioned it, was the airport connection, because that's been a situation for decades where people are trying to figure out a way to get, if not mass transit, some sort of speedy transit between the airport and the strip and downtown. And so this may be the one that solves it.
Yeah. And you know, we're just talking about in-town transportation at this point. But just think, in the future, very near future, in fact, we're going to have a rapid, you know, a high-speed rail system connecting us with Southern California. That's going to take a lot of traffic off of Interstate 15, presumably. And then way down the road, we're looking at a new airport. So, and that airport will not substitute for Harry Reid International. It'll be a supplemental airport to it. So once they've figured out exactly how they're going to utilize that new airport, I think it's going to make transportation in and out of Las Vegas even better.
Are you optimistic about the high-speed train? I remember back in the early 80s when there was talk about a high-speed train that far back. And it
yeah, came to fruition. Some of the early iterations were not good. There were a lot of problems involved, but I have a lot of confidence in the current vendor that's building the high-speed rail because they've already done it. They've done it in Florida. If you have gone to Florida, there's the system that they put together extends from South Beach, Miami, all the way to Orlando, and they're building towards Tampa. So it would go coast to coast in Florida. The fact that they've done this before and they know how to do it and they seemingly know how to market this gives me a lot of confidence that the rail plan for Southern Nevada and Southern California is going to be a success. I think the challenge on that is to get it completed within the deadline that they're trying to do, which is in time for the Olympic Games that are coming up. I don't remember what year it is, but it's a few years down the road. But you've already seen some examples of where the construction is going on. I actually drove down to Southern California recently and saw some of the areas down there that they're prepping for high-speed rail. So it's going to be like right within the median of I-15. So it'll be pretty visible for people to see. And I think that once people get the hang of what it is, they'll be using it more and taking some of that traffic off of Interstate 15, which is always vexing on Fridays and Sundays, and especially on three-day weekends. It's just awful.
Part of your beat also, as I mentioned in the introduction, is aviation. Do you see that changing also for Las Vegas in the near future in the sense that more airlines coming to Las Vegas, the addition, you mentioned of the airport and Ivanpah, I think it's going to be eventually built. But do you see more airlines coming into Las Vegas at this point?
Well, just like our downturn in visitation right now, aviation's kind of in a lull too, because the airlines look at the number of people that are coming here, and they make their schedules based on that. So they want to match the demand against the availability of flights. So again, once we start seeing an upturn in visitation, we'll likely see an upturn in aviation and airlines as well. In just a couple of weeks, the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority and Harry Reid International Airport are going to be attending a conference called Routes, and it's in Hong Kong this year. It's basically speed dating between destinations and airlines. They sit down and they talk to different companies about what the destination has to offer. And they try to sell these airlines on developing new flights into whatever destination it is. In our case, we're talking about we really need some international lift, particularly to Japan. I think that that's going to be a market that is going to be really important to us in the years ahead. We just recently got nonstop service to Ireland. We have nonstop service to London, Great Britain, and to Germany. So having those types of routes in place is going to be something that will grow our market even more, because we'll have that international market to be able to attract. And when you have flights directly from Asia, right now we have South Korea, we have Seoul, South Korea. And if we get something from Tokyo, that would be awesome. And then the European connections that we have. And let's not even forget that our biggest market is Canada. And right now that's kind of in a bad way because probably a lot of geopolitical things that are going on in the world. But I imagine that that is going to eventually change. Steve Hill at the LVCVA is optimistic that by hockey season, we'll start to see more Canadians come here. I don't know if it's going to happen that rapidly, but eventually the tide will turn and people will start returning from Canada. And of course, we have our neighbors to the South, Mexico, that it also provides a great tourism base for us as well.
Right. Well, hockey is like crack cocaine for Canadians, so I think that might help.
It will. It will.
Are you optimistic about the Southern California market?
I think so, because we're going to have more means to get here. We've had a bad, you know, just some bad times with the especially the big fire in Southern California that wiped out so many homes. I think a lot of people took an assessment of where their lives were and decided, well, we can't come to Las Vegas now because we're too busy dealing with some of the crises that are going on in our lives. And then there are other factors that are economics in scope of what people can afford to do. They're reassessing where they want to go. But I think eventually that tide will turn as well. The fact that we're optimistically looking at more visitation to conventions and to sporting events in the next, 15, 16 months, that tells me that there's going to be a lot of those people coming from Southern California, which is our largest market. They're not going to stay on the sidelines for forever. They're going to take a look and see what they want to do, and then come to Las Vegas because A, it's close by, and B, it's something that when you're in Southern California, it's kind of something that you do. You go to Las Vegas.
Yeah, part of the routine in a way.
Yeah.
I'm going to spring this on you a little bit in the sense of the top three stories on your beat as you see it for this year.
This year, okay.
Yeah, or even last year, but if you can think of it for this year, and if it's not top three, maybe the top two or top one, or first, I guess.
Yeah, well, obviously the visitation and the tourism is top of mind for everybody right now. You can't go a day without seeing some kind of a news story about what's happening in the visitation world. To me, that's number one. That's something that we're going to be seeing written about probably for at least another 6 to 12 months. Mm-hmm. It's that important to Las Vegas. So therefore, we are going to cover as many angles as possible on that. So there are different angles within that that kind of branch out a little bit. I think another big story that is going on right now, and maybe it's not quite as well known to the average consumer as I would like to see, is this whole issue with the commodity markets such as Kalshi and Robinhood invading the space of the sports betting industry. Right now, that is something that it's basically an unregulated federal market. And if you're not familiar with what they do, is they're a prediction market. So what they do is they get people to look at what is going on in the world and try to make a prediction about it. And it's a market, so you can put money into it. You can make a decision as to whether you think Proposition A is going to happen or Proposition B is going to happen. And this is all kinds of things like current events. Well, now these markets have branched into sports outcomes. And then in essence, you're taking a bet on a sporting event. Well, in the state of Nevada and in other jurisdictions as well, the state regulators say, wait a minute, you can't do that because you're not licensed to take sports bets. And there's this battle is going on right now in court between the prediction markets, commodities prediction markets, and the state regulators that oversee gaming. That, I think, is a pretty big story, because that will have an impact on some of the things that our resorts offer. sports betting is just something to get people in the door, but it's an important portal to get people to come to the resort. So that is a big deal, I think, for our resort communities.
Is there a third story? And if not, don't worry about it. I just thought maybe top three.
Probably the some of the change. I think the biggie with the airport, the development of the airport. We saw a flurry of activity this past during the summer months, as there were a number of public hearings regarding the supplemental airport in Ivanpah Valley. I learned a lot about what that airport's all about and where it is, some of the things that are going on. But that's going to go into kind of a lull for a couple of years. The reason why is that now the sponsors of the development of that airport, which would be the Federal Aviation Administration and the Bureau of Land Management, they're actually going to be conducting their work to develop and draft a environmental impact statement, which is necessary before they can even put a shovel in the ground to build the airport. So that's going to be a long-term story that will, it's important because transportation and airport is so important to Las Vegas. But we won't be seeing as much about it in the next 2 years simply because they're doing their work. But once they start developing what it is that they have found in their environmental impact statement, and we're expecting there's going to be some pushback in terms of protecting species, the desert tortoise for one. There's a type of flower that's out that needs protection as well. Once we see how that's going to play out, then we'll be able to talk about engineering the new airport and what it's going to look like and what people can expect in terms of how are we going to fly. Are we going to fly out of there if we are in Southwest? Are we going to fly out of there when we're just going internationally? That all hasn't been resolved yet. And that'll be a big, big part of the story once it gets going.
So then you'll have the tunnel going from Las Vegas out to the second airport.
Right, right. Well, maybe, you know, you never know. It's something that I'm sure that there are people who are smarter than me that are thinking about.
In your career, is there anyone you wanted to interview in Las Vegas but didn't get a chance to do so for whatever reason? They may have passed away, or they just didn't want to do an interview, or they moved out of town. Any of those? Is there one of the people that you can think of that you really wanted to get an interview with?
There have been a number of different resort executives, and you know, I wish I had spent more time in. I interviewed him a couple times, but not very, very often. With Terry Lanny, what a great guy he was in terms of moving this community forward. I wish I had been able to spend more time with him. Bill Hornbuckle is doing a great job at MGM now, and he is accessible. But Terry was kind of his mentor, I think, and a mentor to a lot of people in town. So I wish I would have been able to spend more time with him. There are other executives in the gaming world that I wish I would have gotten to know better, especially on the manufacturing side. These people that develop the software and hardware for slot machines and some of the electronic games are amazing. I mean, how they do that kind of stuff, I have no clue. But being able to talk to some of the manufacturers and the key people, maybe not even the top executives, but some of those that are in the trenches that do the work day to day are people that I've not interviewed and would like to do more of.
Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future of journalism in Las Vegas itself? And maybe that's too broad of a question. I can narrow it down to your beat particularly, but your beat is so broad as well.
Yeah, well, I actually am optimistic about journalism in Southern Nevada, simply because I think that the Review Journal and some of our competitors have put together some really good products. and do a lot of very good reporting. I think because you live here, or people that do live here, they don't realize just how different this market is from others. And I'm talking about some of the big cities, New York, Washington, Chicago, those places. They have great beats out there, but this town has more news per capita than just about any place you can imagine. And because of that, we need qualified people to do the work in terms of doing good reporting, good writing, and explaining to the public what's going on in their lives. Where I see a little bit of pessimism is in terms of the readership. I wish that there were more people in the community who would pay attention to current events and what's going on in their communities. Because if you're savvy about what's going on in your community, you can participate and you can chime in and voice your opinion on some of the things that are important in our lives. But there are just so many people who don't read, and they don't, they'll watch television. That's fine. That's partially good, but they need to read and get more of the details so they can fully understand exactly what's going on within the issues that affect them every day.
Mm-hmm. Before I let you go, what do you look at when you're looking at the mix of revenue to Las Vegas? How important is gaming to the overall mix? In the early days, obviously, of Las Vegas, that was the main draw, but we've gone to dining, retail, sports, sporting events, entertainment, just a wide range of revenue producers. So from your point of view and your experience, how important is gaming to that overall mix?
Well, when I first came to Las Vegas, gaming was mega important. It was like, 70% of the revenue that came from the casino. Over time, though, that percentage has dipped a little bit. And now it's not even the majority. It's like more like 40%, 30 to 40%. So the entertainment, some of the things that you mentioned, the entertainment, the sports, the fine dining, those types of things.
Retail as well.
Retail, obviously, have taken the place. And that's been more important to the bottom lines of all these resorts that amaze us every day. As far as entertainment is concerned, and maybe this is one of the big stories that I didn't mention, was that the Sphere. What a place that is. I don't know how much time you spent there, but the presentations that are made there are just awesome. And it's just a whole new part of the entertainment picture. Right now, we have the only one in the world. So that's pretty big. The fact that people will come from all over the world just to see some kind of a presentation at the Sphere is pretty amazing. Now, eventually, they're going to be building more of them. They're already in the works to build one in the United Arab Emirates. I've heard rumors about spheres being built elsewhere in the country and around the world. But for the time being, that place is kind of a gold mine for Las Vegas. It's something that we have that nobody else has. And it's just an amazing venue all the way around, whether you're going to see a film or a concert. And they're even doing things with sports to a certain extent. And they're doing some things with corporate meetings and that type of thing. Whatever it is you go to, you're going to be dazzled when you go in there. And every time I go in, I see something that I say, wow, how did they do that?
Especially now, the Wizard of Oz. So,
yeah, I haven't seen that yet, but it's...
Me neither, but I'm...
I imagine it's... everything that I've seen about it is that it's a terrific show.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Richard N. Rick Velotta. He's covered business, the gaming industry, tourism, transportation, and aviation in Las Vegas for more than 25 years. He's the Review Journal's assistant business editor. And for everything about Richard and his insightful reporting, go to reviewjournal.com. You can follow him on X at Rick Velotta. That's V-E-L-O-T-T-A. Rick Velotta. Rick, thanks again for being on the show. Well, let's make it more often this time.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Great. See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Yeah.